from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Hello and welcome. My name is Alex Martin, and I am the co-op for the Communications Department here at Wentworth. Today, I am joined by Kevin Smith, Clerk of the Works at the Institute. In this episode, we touch on some of Kevin's past projects here at Wentworth and dive into his most recent endeavor, the new multipurpose academic building. So I just want to start out by asking sort of what you do here at Wentworth and sort of what your job as Clerk of the Works entails.
Well, thanks for having me. Nice to meet you. The official description of a Clerk of the Works is more of as an observer. So for legal purposes, if contractors claim that they didn't get the job done on time because of weather or because of other delays in the project one way or another, I'm there as an observer to determine whether those weather patterns were correct or what my job has really morphed into is more as a project manager as well as clerk. I report to Wentworth first, and then I also report to ISD, or Inspection Services Department, over 1010 Mass Ave. So whenever the building inspector, electrical inspector, plumbing inspector, fire marshals come in, I've got to get them signed in, get their credentials on the record, and answer to them if anything isn't up to code or isn't up to snuff. So I'm looking out for Wentworth and looking out for ISD at the same time. So if something isn't up to snuff, if it isn't up to code, I'm in big trouble.
Sure.
So during the design process, during the construction, I'm making sure that corners aren't getting cut for, you know, materials, but also safety and the quality of the building. So in a nutshell, that sort of describes my job as clerk.
Excellent. And sort of what drew you to the job, especially here? I know you were a student at Wentworth.
That's
so
right.
What really brought you back to Wentworth to sort of this position?
Well, I've been in the architecture field for almost 30 years and was looking for a change, saw this opportunity to come back to my alma mater. And it was the Ira Allen renovation job and Flanagan Center that was happening at the same time. So I just saw a great challenge, great opportunity, and that's what started me here.
Sure. So that sort of rolls into questions that I have before we sort of get into talking about the new academic building projects that you were a part of on campus before that. So talk to me a little bit about those projects that you came in on.
Ira Allen was probably one of the best projects I've ever worked on. That building, just the building itself historically is beautiful. There were lots of interesting surprises there. For example, a gravity-fed ventilation system. We're ripping up the chimney to fit our mechanicals through there, and we found an old radiator missing a few of the ribs in the top of the chimney, and we were all scratching our heads. It was almost like a mistake that they left there and built around, and one of the engineers heard about it and asked to leave it and said he wanted to check it out, and he told us it was a gravity-fed system, and I've always thought gravity goes down, but in this case, gravity goes up. So by supplying a heat source at the top of this vent shaft, it would draw the colder air from the basement and bring it through the building and pump up the hot air through the roof. But there were lots of pleasant, interesting surprises in working in a 100-year-old building that was originally an elementary school. Plus, I took classes there. Building needed some help, and I think we turned it into one of the best buildings on campus. So that was a great project. Flanagan Center was a much more difficult, challenging project because of many reasons, but mostly because Beatty Hall is the hub of the campus. I've got the cafeteria, I've got the library, I've got classrooms, I've got an auditorium upstairs, I've got student activities down below, and no matter who goes here, what your major is, you're going to go through Beatty at least once a day during your time here. So that was a very difficult project to do while it was occupied. So I was running across this Parker Street back and forth to each job. So that kind of describes the good and the bad of those two jobs.
transitioning then into talking about the new academic building. I'm just sort of wondering what students can expect out of this new building. What direction are you sort of going in there?
Well, it's sort of like Ira Allen to the nth degree. Ira Allen is really what got this these majors started with biomed, biochemical. Ira Allen has chemistry labs, physics labs, and biology labs, and we're basically going to be tripling that capacity. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we're going to have a lot of makerspaces. So we're going to have a lot of 3D printing technology, not just on the ground floor, but throughout different laboratories. So the chemistry department will have, eventually, from what I'm told, a 3D printer that will print cells. Or use cells as a printing method. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I'm just pretty excited to hear the professors talk about that stuff, as well as a 3D printer that can print circuit boards. So that's just the beginning of what that building is going to be offering us. So I'm really excited about a lot of the things that I don't really know yet what this thing's going to do. So I'm just trying to make sure that we have the capacity in the future because this technology keeps changing. So we're trying to anticipate things that are going to be coming even beyond what this building needs for now so that we can adapt and can be ready for what's coming down the road, whatever that may be. It's going to be a glass building with a metal veil across the top of it. So the glass is going to be facing Parker Street and facing the quad. The shroud or the veil is going to be draped across Watson to Tansy.
So yeah, you say that the technology is sort of built in place to adapt with the times. So how is the technology being implemented in a way that it can be easily sort of shifted in and out?
We're trying to leave the spaces as open as possible. Mm-hmm. We originally wanted the ceilings to be open, so all the mechanicals would be exposed, which I personally feel is a great learning tool for anybody taking chemistry class that just happens to be in construction management or architectural design, so I see it as a learning experience. Due to design constraints and mechanical constraints, we are putting in acoustic ceiling tile, which will cover up all this beautiful mechanical and plumbing work. But we're going to be leaving as much space as possible to add to it or move around or deal with that. Very similar to the raised flooring in the library, the new library, which was just renovated. Not sure if anybody knows this, but there's an inch and a half flooring over the wide open space that allows us to run tel data and electrical. So we can move a floor outlet or move a tel data connection anywhere we want where that raised flooring is. So we've been waiting for students to create a path of desire. The architects did a pretty good job in figuring out where kids want to be comfortable and hang out and plug things in, but I'm not sure if you were here for the old library. There was about two plugs for a whole open space. There was a spider web network of plugs and extension cords to hook up 30 of the kids that had to share two plugs. So, now I can move a electrical cord wherever kids seem to be gathering without drilling a hole through the ceiling of the cafeteria, which is not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. So that's the type of philosophy we're using to design the multipurpose building. And a lot of it will be hidden behind the ceiling tiles and the core of the building and the shaft work around different portions of the building.
An aspect of the multipurpose building that I'm particularly interested in hearing about is an attempt to stay green and maintain some level of environmental friendliness. And I'm just wondering what aspects of the new building you know about that are going to sort of help Wentworth remain sort of a green campus.
Well, we've got a white roof. We're going to have LED lighting. We're going to have a system, we're still picking that out, that will allow us a little more flexibility on the ventilation hoods in the biology and chemistry labs. So right now at Ira Allen, all of the fume hoods are on or they're off. With this new system, we'll be able to isolate different hoods at different times in different locations. So if I've only got three chemistry classes going on in one end of the building, I can isolate those hoods and keep the other ones from either pumping the cold air out of the building on a hot day or the warm air on a cold day. So we're also going to have a fairly extensive control package with this job, so that anybody at a given time can look at a laptop or an iPad and see which rooms are hot or which rooms are cold and which rooms need to be adjusted or tweaked or without roasting the whole building or burning a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. We're going for a LEED Silver at this point, which is a basic code requirement, but we're also going to be doing some more sustainable things other than above and beyond the LEED Silver. So,
yeah, and I'm interested in you know, talking about going for those sort of more sustainable aspects of keeping the building relatively green, about how important remaining green is to the construction of the new building. So can you just speak on sort of those aspects of why keeping those levels of sustainability are important to the construction of the building?
Well, it's just being a, you know, good person inhabiting the planet. You know, we want to take advantage of just the natural resources and let the building heat and cool itself as much as possible. That's just a smart thing to do, but it's also good for the environment. Put a lower carbon footprint on the planet, and just being a good neighbor in general. Don't mean to simplify that, but it's really what it kind of comes down to.
And so I know you spoke briefly about sort of the design of the new building and how it would look, but I'm curious about that sort of relative to the rest of campus, how this building is going to look and on sort of a design standpoint.
That's a good question. I think the building's going to be unique. Mm-hmm. It's not really blending in with anything. We had a lot of yellow brick, and then it got two massive concrete structures, that's Tansy and Beatty. This one is going to be much more light, airy, open. You know, we're blocking off that part of the quad that has always been visibly accessible. There's a tennis courts there, so you can look right through the fence, and now we're putting a building there. You're going to be able to look through this building and still see parts of Parker Street. There's going to be a center core where our elevator and those shafts that are offering flexibility, like we talked about earlier. But on either side of that, it's all glass. So you're still going to get a visual connection between the quad and Parker Street. The shroud is going from north to south, and that's planned north and south. So that's from the edge of Watson to the gym, to Nelson Recreation Center, or the Tansy Gym. Sorry, I've been here long enough that I use both of those names. And I'm interested in how that shroud is going to look. So I'm anxious to see that that design technique being used here. It's not going to fit in. It's going to be, but I say that in a good way. In my mind, anyway, it's going to be a nice addition to the campus in a unique way.
The uniqueness of the building and how that is going to change sort of the way that campus looks in general, and sort of what elements of that are exciting in terms of how it might change the dynamic of at least the look of campus. So can you speak a little bit to that, to a little bit more to the uniqueness of the building and how it will sort of shape the view of campus?
Well, anybody walking around the quad is going to take advantage of all the glass, but everybody walking through the pike is going to get an aspect of this veil or shroud that we've got. Also along the pike, there's going to be, I believe we're calling it a vitrine. So there's going to be a little glass jewel box at the very front of the building, or I'm sorry, the side of the building. Let's just say the elevation that faces the gym, mm-hmm. which gets a lot of foot traffic. And there's going to be a display space for drawings, models, sculptures, display presentations, whatever that may be. So that aspect will, that aspect of the design will be a great presentation for anybody walking down the pike. And that's a lot of people, not just Wentworth students. Then the view from Parker Street, again, I'm going to refer back to what I said earlier about the quad. You're still going to be able to basically see through this building and get glimpses of the quad. But at the same time, see what's going on inside of this space. So we really want to open up the inside of this building to people walking by and walking around it.
I'm sure there's a lot of aspects of building a building like this that people might not realize are, you know, prevalent aspects of construction project this massive. So I'm just wondering sort of what the hardest part of a project like this is from your end that people might not know about.
It really comes down to time and money. For example, we've got to... The biggest impact on the project right now is going to be pile driving. Mm-hmm. I want to get that started as soon as possible, and I want it to be over with as soon as possible. So the sooner we start, the sooner we finish. And that has a huge impact on the rest of the campus. So trying to get 10-hour days and working Saturdays is challenging because I'm going to be disrupting not just Wentworth students, but the community around us. So we want to get their blessing and their permission and let them know the sooner we start, the sooner we finish. And if we can work weekends, it'll be done sooner. And so that's my most current difficult task that I'm facing at the moment. And then getting the building wrapped up before winter hits so that I can have more people working inside. On the interiors, getting the painting finished and the finish schedule going. So the different phases of the project present different challenges at different times. Right now, I just want to get shovels in the ground and get the pile driving started and over with.
But then, sort of an opposite spectrum, I'm interested in what your favorite part of working on such a large project like this building is.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. My favorite part is giving tours. Yeah. To the students and academics and anybody and everybody who asks for one. Mm-hmm. Also at different phases of the project, because it's just amazing to see the steel go up and it's amazing to see the concrete getting poured. And it's, you know, as frustrating, loud, and annoying as it is, it's exciting when the piles start hitting the ground and getting things going. So having kids standing on the roofs of other buildings looking down and pointing at things and asking, what's that for? What's that guy doing? That is hands down my favorite part of the job. Because when I was a student here, I shouldn't admit this, but I snuck onto construction sites just to see what was going on and check things out and come back with questions. I saw a guy doing this. I saw a piece of equipment that looked like that. And what is a slurry wall? And what do you do with all that stuff when it's finished? And I've never stopped being curious. And anybody that has that... in them, I try to encourage. So
sure.
Giving tours to not just students, but anybody interested in the construction project. That's my favorite part of the job.
Yeah, and when you sort of started working in this field, was that always a hope that you could sort of show students or prospective students this kind of work and get them interested in these kind of fields? Is that part of what makes the job so interesting to you?
Yeah, I know, you know, as a carpenter and as an architect, I never really thought, wow, I'd love to give tours and show people what this is all about. But I did have great pride in standing back at the end of the day and saying, this wasn't here before we got here. So I want to, that's really where I guess that started from. Getting the framing of a house up or a residential space or any building at that point is, it's like, wow, I wish we could just kind of save this and capture this moment, because as soon as the sheetrock goes up and the electrical work, it changes dramatically. I don't know if you've ever experienced the room expanding and contrasting at different phases of the project, but when a room is just full of sheetrock and nothing else in there, it seems very small. Mm-hmm. You put one chair in there, a piece of furniture, and it gets big again. So that aspect of the job is fun to share.
I'm curious about how the new multi-purpose building is going to improve the Wentworth student experience, you know, having such a new building on campus. So what aspects of it do you think are really going to improve that student experience?
Well, I'm very excited about all the 3D printing, and that kind of goes without saying. And this is going to have different types of capacity to do 3D printing or, you know, additive rapid prototyping or whatever we're going to call that. 3D printing doesn't really seem to cover what that new technology really is all about. That just so using that technology in different aspects and in different phases. So chemistry, biology, and the Accelerate program, and just the CNC milling machines, and just having kids go to take one class and walking by another class to see what they're doing and firing off that trigger of imagination. I never knew that was possible kind of stuff. That's awesome. But also, this building is really going to be taking us into the university status. Mm-hmm. So not just your own personal experience while you're taking classes here and running into things you didn't even know were possible on your way to do something else. Leaving here, graduating from Wentworth, you're going to, you know, graduate from Wentworth University. Not that we're going to change the name, but having university status really improves your resume when you're going out for a job. And, oh, geez, you went to Wentworth. Not that we don't already have that reputation, but it just takes it to the next level.
And, yeah, you touched upon this a little bit there, but just talk to me about how important it is that Wentworth continues to innovate and improve upon both the campus and the technologies on it, especially with how quickly technology sort of changes and that sphere adapts.
Well, I'm going to go back to something that I think the biomedical major is focusing in on right now. There's a lot of ways to teach that class or teach that department or that major. Mm-hmm. Wentworth started out as a trade school, and some of the other schools are more equipped to focus on the biomedical drug aspect or the gene splicing or zebrafish laboratory experiments. We're building on what we're good at, which is technology. So the biomedical students here are going to be focused or have more tools at their disposal to explore aspects of how to make a better pacemaker, how to make a better stent, or better ways to make the better pacemaker. So we're taking our strength with this technology and mechanical and industrial side of things and applying that to a biomedical aspect, because there's so many different facets of biomedical engineering that we've got the advantage of being in Massachusetts with a variety of schools that teach that major at different levels, and we're focusing on one aspect of it that we just happen to be really good at because of our history. So that's what I'm pretty excited about, this building offering further and above and beyond what we started with at Ira Allen.
So thanks again for coming and sitting down and talking to me.
My pleasure. This was great.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you too. And thank you all for listening. I hope you tune in next time.